being here, you are quite different to most people in our country. But why? What does bring you here this morning? Habit? Belief? Loneliness? Work? Desperation? Faith? But what is faith all about anyway? An owl, okay. We're going to kick off with a little clip from this week's Alpha video. It's about a minute and a half, just to introduce this whole idea of faith. Thanks, Dan. Hopefully.
Life had begun.
Becoming a Christian is an exciting adventure. St. Paul wrote, "Those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone, a new life has begun." So what makes someone a Christian? Well, some people say, well, I believe in God, or I grew up going to church every now and then, but that doesn't make you a Christian. There are many people in the world who believe in God, but wouldn't call themselves Christian. Some people might say that they are really a Christian person because they're nice. Well, lots of atheists are nice people too, but they wouldn't want to be known as Christians because they're not. Some say, I'm a Christian because I was born in a Christian country. But being born in a Christian country doesn't make you a Christian any more than being born in McDonald's would make you a hamburger. A Christian is really a Christian, someone who follows Jesus Christ, someone who has a relationship with God through Jesus.
What is faith to me?
Faith.
Faith, I think, is a combination of confidence and peace.
Yeah.
Faith. Sorry, not yet.
These are really good questions.
Trust.
I'm confirmed, if that helps.
I am CNE Anglican, which means I go to church for my grand on Christmas and Easter.
Believing without seeing.
He also has faith in me that their next step after this interview will
be
food.
Yeah.
I don't think faith has to do with religion.
I don't know how to describe faith.
It is believing in something that even though you haven't seen it yourself, something that gets you through the day.
Interesting. A lot of confusion there, isn't there, about faith and what it is? Well, I think it's an important question for us to wrestle with, and that's what we're looking at today. What is faith and how can we have it? Important question to ask. Because if we do have this mysterious thing called faith, we need to know what it rests on. Tim Keller writes in his book, The Reason for God, Belief in an Age of Skepticism. It's a bit of a long quote, but bear with me because it's a goodie. He writes this. A faith without some doubts is like a human body without any antibodies in it. People who blithely go through life too busy or indifferent to ask hard questions about why they believe what they do will find themselves defenseless against either the experience of tragedy or the probing questions of a smart skeptic. A person's faith can collapse almost overnight if she's failed over the years to listen patiently to her own doubts, which should only be discarded after long reflection. Believers should acknowledge and wrestle with doubts, not only their own, but also their friends and neighbours. It's no longer sufficient to hold beliefs just because you inherited them. Only if you struggle long and hard with objections to your faith will you be able to provide grounds for your belief to skeptics, including yourself, that are plausible rather than ridiculous or offensive. He suggests that we need faith with firm foundations, or in today's aggressively secular world, we will fall. Now, we may all think that we are our own people, we make our own beliefs, we shape ourselves, we're in control of our destiny, but actually I think we might be rather deluded about how much the outside world has influence on us. C.S. Lewis wrote this. We have to be continually reminded of what we believe. Neither this belief nor any other will automatically remain alive in the mind. It must be fed. And as a matter of fact, if you examined 100 people who had lost their faith in Christianity, I wonder how many of them would have turned out to have been reasoned out of it by honest argument. Do not most people simply drift away? So we need firm foundations for our faith. We need to know not only what we believe, but why we believe it. I was talking to somebody last week who was worried that they'd lost their faith. But what I wanted to know was, what did they think it had been based on in the past? What is our faith based on? Because if it's based in the wrong place, we're in a very precarious position, and we shouldn't be surprised if it slips away. You see, Christianity is a rational faith. By that, I don't mean that you can prove it. Only maths problems can be proved. Everything else is a theory that seems to best fit the evidence we see. But what I mean is Christianity is rational in the sense that you don't need to switch your brain off to believe it. It's not the delusion of an uneducated mind. It does make sense. It does fit with the evidence we see in the world around us. It can stand up to being tested and careful examination. One of Mark Twain's characters once said, "Faith is believing what you know ain't so." But that's not Christian faith. That's insanity. Faith is not irrational. But I'm sure you've met people who've said things like, "Oh, I'd really love to have your faith," as if there's some special gift that makes you believe stuff that everybody else knows is rubbish. But that isn't faith. That's, again, more like Alice Through the Looking Glass kind of thinking. Perhaps you remember this quote from that book. Alice laughed. "There's no use trying," she said. "One can't believe impossible things." "I dare say you haven't had much practice," said the Queen. "When I was younger, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." But that isn't the kind of thing that Christianity is about. We're not practicing believing in the impossible. We're not here to reinforce each other's mad delusions, but to look objectively at what the truth claims to be and see if we can trust those claims. For at the end of the day, being a Christian and having Christian faith is all about trust. Like we were trusting Nicky earlier, that he really did know what was in that tin. So what does our faith rest on then? We're going to spend the rest of our time thinking about 3 firm foundations that we can have for trusting in our Christian faith. 3 W's: the work of Christ, the word of God, and the witness of the Spirit. So let's start first of all with the work of Christ. It probably isn't a shock to you, but I am married. Most of you have met my husband, so you know that that's true. But if you haven't met James, if you do know him, I just want you to imagine that you haven't met him before. And you might want to know, why do I think that I'm married? Well, the reason I know I'm married is because on the 2nd of December in the year 2000, I was at a marriage service where James and I made promises to each other in the presence of others, and we signed a register to say that we had said those things, and we got married. Now, I don't think anybody here was there, but you could have been if you'd popped it down to a church in Trull a while ago. So it doesn't really matter whether or not I feel married, or whether I want to be married, or whether we've had a massive argument and haven't spoken for 2 weeks, or whether we just hugged half an hour ago. On the 2nd of December in the year 2000, I did get married. It did happen. In the same way, you better go black here, Dan, otherwise you'll be distracting. In the same way, between 6 BC and 4 BC, a male child called Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in the Roman province of Judea. Now, this time I wasn't there, but if I was a little older, I could have been. And around 35 years later, sometime between AD 30 and AD 33, the Roman governor Pontius Pilate condemned this same man, by this time known as Jesus of Nazareth, to death by crucifixion. His dead body was laid in a stone tomb and a huge stone rolled in front of it. But a couple of days later, the tomb was discovered to be empty, and people began saying that they had seen him alive again. Again, I wasn't there personally, but I could have seen it for myself if I'd been born a little bit earlier. My point is that Christianity is a historical faith. It's based on events that happened in regular human history. Events recorded not just by Christian historians, who might have an axe to grind, but also by Roman and Jewish historians, who had no personal faith to defend. Jesus was a real historical figure, and it's important that we remember that our faith here this morning is based on him and what he did and what he said, not on me or my thoughts or my feelings or my experiences. You see, the Christian faith is not primarily a subjective experience that might work for me but might not for you. It's about trusting and following a historical person who either was who he said he was and did what he said he'd claimed to do and rose from the dead, or he didn't. So it's something that we can explore and investigate and examine. It's not just some lovely fairy story that we're supposed to kind of buy into that doesn't really hold up for scrutiny. At the heart of our faith is the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. He claimed to be the Son of God, dying in our place so that we could have our sins forgiven, our rejection of God pardoned, and we could receive the gift of eternal life. And then he rose from the dead as the proof that what he said and did was true, that death had been defeated. So our faith depends on the work of Christ, on what he did and said in real time and space. So my faith and standing before God depends all on Jesus and on him alone. Ephesians 3, verse 2 says, "In him, in Christ, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." And notice how you can just swap that word faith for trust. It means the same thing. In Christ and through with trust in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. It's not something that changes because of how I'm feeling or what I've done, nor on what's happening in the world around me, however good or bad that might be. Doesn't matter whether life's going brilliantly or is an utter disaster. Our faith is based on the work of Christ. Just as my marriage is based on an actual event in history and not my feelings, it's the same for my faith. So the question we must answer is Jesus who he says he was? Did he do what he came to do? If he did, then Christianity is the faith for me and also the faith for you. But if he didn't, then Christianity is not the faith for anyone, and we should go home. We need to look at the historic event of Jesus' life and death and see if there's something we can put our trust in. In John's Gospel, the first chapter, verse 12, that we often read at Christmas, it says, "Yet to all who did receive him," receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." For to have Christian faith is simply to trust God, just as we trusted Nikki's words earlier on, and to trust him with everything, every part of our life and our death. It's all about him and not about us. So first of all, our faith is based on the work of Christ. Secondly, our faith is based on the Word of God, the Bible. Now, as I mentioned, James and I got married on the 2nd of December in the year 2000 at Trull Church in Somerset. Now, although you weren't there, and you'll have to take my word of it, I have got a few things to help you. I've got my wedding invitation here, could have been invited. Here's the order of service. There you go. Remind myself what we sang. I can still remember feeding it through the photocopier, which was not liking the card. And I even managed to find our wedding certificate to prove that it really did happen. We had witnesses and a vicar and everything. It was all there. And if you're still not sure, I've got a whole load of photos that you can have a laugh at later. There you go. You see, you don't have to just take my word for it. There's some documentary evidence as well. And in the same way, God has given us his word, the Bible, that we can trust in and believe. We can read it for ourselves. Our faith is based on the word of God. Now, that might seem like a big claim for this slightly old combination of 66 books, all written at least 1,900 years ago. Is this really the word of God? But that's what the book claims about itself. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed." But we're not talking about it as if something was just dropped down from heaven. No, this is a combination of authors. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21, "We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you'll do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you may understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." It's that dual authorship of God and man. So we're supposed to read the Bible intelligently and appreciate this dual authorship. And we need to study both Old and New Testament seriously, to take them seriously as Jesus did. Jesus said in John 5:39, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are the very scriptures that testify about me." Jesus says the Old Testament talks about him as much as the New. So we can look back at the Old Testament, see how God has worked in human history. We can read the prophecies made centuries before and see them come true in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. We can look at the New Testament and see that those who walked and talked with Jesus, those who experienced Jesus firsthand, we can read their stories. Luke writes at the beginning of his gospel account this: "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent philosophers, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." He carefully investigated and wrote down for us an orderly account. So just as I could look back at all these documents, if I'm unsure whether I'm married or not, so I can put my trust in God's word. The word of God is reliable and trustworthy and can show us the path to eternal life. So our faith is not, again, dependent on feelings, but on God's word. So we have the work of Christ, the word of God, and finally the witness of the Spirit. Now, by now, I suspect you're pretty clear that I really am married. You've heard about the event, you've seen the documentation, but there is a bit more to it than an event and some paperwork. I also have nearly 18 years of practical experience of being married. I've lived it out in reality, sharing a house, having children, going on holiday, doing the washing, doing some more washing, doing life together. And I'm glad to say that our marriage is a lot more than just a formal agreement. It's a relationship in progress as well. And if it wasn't, well, then it would be a bit of a sham, wouldn't it? A marriage in name, but not the thing it was designed to be. And that is a lot like faith. Our faith does depend completely on the work of Christ. We can have utter confidence in what Jesus has done for us, and we can trust in God's word that it's true and faithful. But if it doesn't impact us in our everyday lives at all, if we can't see God at work in us, through us, around us, in others, through others, around others, if we don't experience anything of his presence, which he promises us, well, then we're not talking about the Christian faith as the Bible describes it. Because true faith is accompanied by the witness of the Spirit. God promises to be in us and with us and slowly but surely to transform us from the inside out. And as he does so, our lives are changed. We start to act differently, to speak differently, to think differently, to hope for different things, to aim for different things. We see the world in a completely different way, a better way, a deeper way, a more satisfying way, a way that makes sense. Because Christianity does work in practice. And I've seen this time and time again, not only in myself, but in all of you lovely people, as I see God at work in your lives, transforming people. And the witness of the Spirit in our lives is also an important pillar of our faith. We can and should experience God and knowing him in practice. Because Christianity isn't supposed to be a theoretical faith, is it? This is no kind of physics theory. It's a living relationship. We're supposed to know God, not just know about him, but know him. It's the Holy Spirit who brings the Almighty God into our hearts, into our lives, and that we might experience him. It's the Spirit who whispers words of peace, words of refreshment to our thirsty souls. It's the Spirit who gives us hope when the world has none. It's the Spirit who helps us love the unlovable, care for the careless, and forgive the unforgivable. The reading that Emma brought us from 1 John, the last verse was this: the one who keeps God's commandments lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Now, it is a bit circular. As you receive God, you change, you know him, but there is supposed to be a sense of experience. We are to truly experience God daily, just as I experience being married in my everyday life. And actually, the whole analogy of marriage is not so far off the truth. For in Ephesians, Paul tells us that God designed the intimacy and relationship of marriage to help us better understand the relationship we're going to have with God in eternity. Why is sex good rather than just functional? Because God wants us to know that depth and passion of intimacy with him. We're supposed to enjoy God. But of course, I don't want you to think that every day our Christian experience is necessarily happy and jolly. The Bible is full of people wrestling through darkness and suffering and experiencing God's pain presence in the midst of deep pain. The true presence of God in our lives won't just remove all suffering. And depending on where in the world we live, becoming a Christian might precipitate a whole new level of persecution and suffering. But that doesn't mean that the experience of God is any less real, any less strong. In fact, God's presence is often felt most strongly when we're in times of darkness and all other supports have let us down. So we are supposed to experience God. We are supposed to experience the witness of the Spirit. So this morning, let's reflect on what our faith individually rests on. Why is it that we're here? Why is it that we believe what we do? Does what we believe stand up to scrutiny? Can we poke it? Will it fall over? The faith, Christian faith, as described in the Bible, depends on the work of Christ. We can have confidence in what he's done. We can have confidence in the Word of God that we have in the Bible. And we can have confidence that God is and will be at work in our lives. Shall we pray?